So we're up to Simon Tofresh Memtes Evolve. A very fascinating halacha. I must say today it's not all that noigea, but in previous doiras this was one of the most important seifim, I think, in Hilchas Dalet Minim. So I think there's a lot of discussion in the poskim about this, and it's quite a lot of discussion how to understand it. The halacha that is being discussed over here is what happens in extreme circumstances. We know nowadays we've got such an abundance of esoigim. It's quite unbelievable. We spoke about it in previous shurim. 20 years ago, 40 years ago, in Kal Vachom, 100 years ago, one esrik batan. My father-in-law says, I hear from this story, it's unbelievable. It was literally one, the whole city, there was one esrik. And that was like the best kehilas and the most, it was the norm. It was absolutely can't afford, you couldn't afford one. It's a story in its own, how they got that esrik and how they got Aluluv. The question is, what if the lulav that the city has got is in a very poor condition? Very poor condition. Very poor condition. What's the halacha then? What are you meant to do? There is nothing else available. There is taka nothing of it. It's not laziness. It's not stinginess. It's just that's the only one available. What are you meant to do? Can you make a bracha on the lulav, which is really, really like, it looks really dried out? What happens if it's not really Adas, it's just something which looks very, very similar to Adas? Can you shake? Or can you make a bracha? What about lulav? Lulav which is like split right across. But that's the only one that you've got. Can you shake? Better to shake, better not to shake. Better to shake with a bracha, better to shake without a bracha. This is something which nowadays, Bokshim, we're not that familiar with those shaylos, but it's something which is very, very crucial. That's going to be discussed in Tzivav. And the understanding of it, the underlying understanding of it is a chiddush on its own. Tzivav. B'shas Adchak. Bottom line of page Kufchav base. B'shas Adchak. On extreme circumstances, says the Shulchan Aruch. B'shas Adchak. On extreme circumstances, she'enim tzakosha, that no kosher set can be found. Kol hapsulim noitlin. You are allowed to shake any of the posele sets. Ve'ein mevach, and you do not make a bracha though. I'm repeating. B'shas adchak, on extreme circumstances, she'enim tzakosha, that no kosher set can be found. Kol hapsulim noitlin. You can shake any of the psulim. Ve'ein mevach, and you don't make a bracha on it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah qualifies that a little bit, and he says the following: Veish machshirin, some am machshir lulev yovesh afidu levorech olav. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is whatever the psul may be, you can take it, but don't make a bracha. The Ramah is more lenient, and he says, you know what? You can even make a bracha when it comes to lulev ayovesh if it's dry lulev, 2 years old. It's a dry lulev. It's white and it's really old. Pork on it. You can shake it, but you should make a bracha on it as well. Lulev ayovesh, afidu levorech olav, you can make a bracha on it. V'chein noy again, and that's the meaning, says the Ramah. The meaning is to be lenient. If you've got nothing else, you take a dry lulev and you make a bracha on it. Levorech alulovim yeveshim, afidu bedike achirim lachim. Even if there are some lulovim which are a bit better condition, if that's what you've got, you can make a bracha on a dry, dry, old yovesh. Aval b'shar menim, but when it comes to the other meaning, with regards to an esrek, you can't make ein linug och, you don't make a bracha on it. You don't make a bracha. So the Ramah says, you can only make a bracha with regards to a dry lulav, nothing else. Bracha. With regards to shaking, yes, you do shake anything that you've got if there's nothing else available. V'yesh mekin ma'afilu b'adas yovesh, v'yesh lismu chalei b'shas adchak. He does say that with Hadassim, there are also some Ekilim. So again, just to get that clear. B'shas Adchak, the Shulchan Aruch says, you can take any Dalet Minim, don't make a bracha. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. B'shas Adchak. Extreme circumstance, you can take, you shake them even if they're apostle. The Ramah says, not only you can shake it, but if the problem is that it's a dry lulev, you can actually make a bracha on it as well. And he says some Alim with regards to dry Hadass as well. And that's what the Ramah paskins. What do you think about this, Rabbi Yisai? It's possible. It's possible. We're talking about apostle sets. Possible.
What's the point of doing it if it's possible?
What's the point of doing it? What's the point of doing it if it's possible? What's the point? There is two basic understandings in this, without going into too great detail, two basic understandings why you can shake Minim is apostle. Some have the approach that actually, in a Shas Adchak case, Chachomim were Mekel. And they're actually allowing those psulim to be taken. Because it's Shas Adchak, Chachomim were more lenient, and those psulim are okay. The psulim are okay. That's one approach, without going into too great detail. Another approach is that, no, actually they are apostle. But there's a special requirement, Shalot Tishtakach, Toiras, Esrig, and Toiras Lulav, that we shouldn't forget. At least do something which reminds you of an Esrig. Better than doing nothing, type of Svara. These are two different approaches in that, Rishonim and Achronim. This is because of the extreme circumstances.
According to the second
Tzad,
why would you not just make a bracha without Hashem Hashem?
Can the second tzad being what's the second tzad?
The tzad that it's
just Shelo Tishtakach. Yeah.
Why would you not just make a Yehiratzon or something instead of a Yehiratzon?
Because Shelo Tishtakach. Because next year, because we want still people to know what an Esrig looks like. Look, Yankele, this is really an Esrig. Don't just at least you should know a bit. You should have a bit of connection to it. If I just say Yehiratzon, it's not.
But by making a bracha without Hashem Hashem, you're still maintaining the connection with it. But you're not saying the potential
for right. But Chami understood that's the way to transmit it. Still, that's the best you can do. Now, the question which I want to
the two things. Number one, presumably the first opinion, there is a special kula from the Rabbanim, wouldn't help for the first day because that's a deraisa.
It's anyway going to be a chiddush, even if it's a Rabbanim, it's a very big chiddush. It's a kula b'shas adchak. Yeah, it needs to be understood.
According to the latter opinion, I could see both sides because you can say once you
correct, and this is what is mentioned as well. The truth is, what you're touching on is actually mamash the machloek is showing him in later achon. That mamash discussing this point.
It's like when you have someone making kiddush during the 9 days, and you give it to a cotton, and you want to say you want to be very careful that he shouldn't think, oh yeah, that's right. I always used to make.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's a svar. That svar is mentioned as well. I'm afraid we can't go into detail, but it's true that this svar is mentioned in the poskim. What about, how do you define shas adchak? That's really important. Rabbi Yisrael, if you are in shul and your esrik, somebody's esrik is in a very poor condition. Your esrik is mamash, but you feel uncomfortable asking your neighbor, do you mind to lend me your esrik? Is that called an extreme circumstance? What is an extreme circumstance? If you have to schlep an hour to get an esrig, is that called? How do you define shas adchak that these leniencies will apply? Does the question make sense? How do you define shas adchak? Is it travel? If you have to travel an hour, half an hour, you have to go to Golden Screen, down the road, embarrassment. How do you explain? How do you define shas adchak? The Mishneh Berurah says Sifkot Nun Beis b'Shas Adchak. Loi Mikri Shas Adchak. The way to define Shas Adchak says the Mishneh Berurah. Hello, Im Kain Ein B'Cholay Arba Minim Ksherim. The whole city. If there is one kosher set in the city, you must go and get it. We are talking about the whole city applies only if in the whole city there is no kosher set at Minim. That's how Shas Adchak is defined. There are Cholkim on that, but that's the Mishneh Berurah's opinion. If there is one kosher set in the city, you have to go and get it. Now, I don't know how you're going to define edgeway. I'm not sure. Depends very much on... People look at postcodes. They say that we're not part of London. Mm-hmm. People look at phone numbers.
Great.
I'm saying, what would happen if there's no kosher set in edgeway? You have to go to Golden Screen. What would happen then? Do you look at the tchum? Do you look at the phone numbers, postcodes? What do you look at? Tchum? Yeah, is that a defining factor? Tchum? It's a question. I need Ircho as well. It's a question that it has to be defined one day. How do you define exactly Edgeway? That's an interesting question. But, yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says in the whole city. Now, the Mishnah Berurah also addresses the following Shaila. What happens at Boisai? We know that there's halachas with regards to Hadas and Arovas. What is really considered Hadas? What is really considered Arovas? We spoke about those halachas earlier. If you've got something which is not really Hadas, but it's very, very similar. Tziftzefer, we spoke about them. They look very similar to us, but it's not a kosher adas. What happens if you cannot obtain, in the whole city, there's no kosher adas? All there is that thing that is really similar to adas, but it's not really adas, but looks really, really similar.
If I say like a
Correct, that's right, you're quite right, 100% you're right. Thank you so much, yeah. Thank you very much, yeah. It's very, very similar. It's very similar. So, but the Shaila would apply both for Arovas and for Adas. Something which is really, really similar, but it's not quite the mean. It's not quite the Dalit Minim. Will that be a... On the Shas Adchak, should you take those or leave it out?
Not even if there is...
Not. No. No. Says the Mishnah Berurah, mamash like you are saying. Sivkot nun gimel. That's right. Absolutely. That's exactly what Mishnah Berurah says. And it's important to point this out. Kol apsulim in sivkot nun gimel. Hainu apsulim achmas mum. We're talking about the blemishes. Avol apsulim achmas eino aminon. But the psulim, because it's not a real dalet minim. This is not a das. This is not a rova. This is not an esrek. This is not a lulav. If it's not the right mean, gugana das shoyte, v'tzavtzavo murkov, posel afilu b'shaz adchak, this will certainly be posel even b'shaz adchak. So even under extreme circumstances, you certainly can't take it. And more than that, this is the osel limit, the losses by intomi, that's very much useful. That if you're going to start taking a hadas, which is not really a hadas, you're going to take a lemon instead of an ester, you're taking something which is similar to a lulav, but not quite a lulav. If you're going to be starting using this, what's going to happen next year? When you actually can access a regular dalet minim, what's going to happen next year? Why do I have to go and buy an ester for £150? Let me go to Tesco and buy a lemon for 29p. So therefore, something which is the enon minon, if it's not the enon minon, if it's not the right type, if it's not the right mean, the right species, then you won't be able to be yotze to that, even b'shas adchak. It's definitely out of question. What about if you haven't got enough, hadassim? Only one hadass? One arova? Should you better take it or better not leave it out? This whole city is not enough hadassim. It's not only one hadass, two hadassim. Only one arova. Should you rather just leave it or rather take it? And if yes, do you make a bracha? Or you don't take it at all? Yeah, it says Loshon Rabim. It says Loshon Rabim. And if you've got two hadassim instead of three?
Yeah, two. I think two is okay.
Two is okay, not three. Abosai? Interesting svara you're saying. Very interesting svara. Very, very interesting. What do you think, Abosai? If you have not, there's not only one arova. Two hadassim. You should take it.
The Mishnah.
What does it say in the Mishnah?
Take one of
says the Mishnah Bura, and im ein b'chol ha'ir abo meaning ksherim, if there's no in the city, there isn't enough abo meaning ksherim, yitl mashinim to take what you've got. Shnayim u'shloish ha'minim. So he's actually referring to, if you haven't got the halad min, it's not quite the question as addressed, but it's a similar point, that if you've got no adasim, you're no arovas. You only got an esrik and a lulav and adas, you haven't got arovas. Or you haven't got adasim. Or you haven't got an esrik. Or you haven't got a lulav. Should you rather take it or should you rather leave it? So Mishnah Berurah over here says, that's the Shani is addressing over here, you should still take it. Imagine that. That's Mishnah Berurah says. You should shake it right, left, up. Even the shliach tzibur should do it, but exactly what you are pointing out. But don't make a bracha. So you do take it. Don't make a bracha. But don't take a lemon instead of an esrog. Don't take a broomstick instead of a lulav. Yeah. The yovalit is b'shashonim because your son next year is going to find, next year people are going to make a mistake. So don't take something wrong instead of something right. Mashenken b'shloisha minin lo yovalit is that kol yodim shtoich abo minim. That's Mishnah Berurah says, and that leaves us, let's carry on. I just want to, let's leave that for it. Says the Ramah, third line. Although chosse, something is missing, it's kosher on the remaining days, as we've discussed previously. You may not cut an esrog into two or three pieces. Do you like this one? You may not. Chosse is okay, but if on the second day you want to cut the, what's that? It's not considered. You don't cut an esrog into two or three, and the reason for that is, says the Ramah, don't cut an esrog into two or three pieces, and to give it out. It sounds like really there's not sufficient esrogim in town, or even neighboring cities haven't got sufficient esrogim. So what are you going to do? You're going to cut the esrog into three and give it out to the. So that he says you can't do that. Why is that? And the reason for that is fascinating. The dafke chosse, only chosse is okay if it's chosse v'nisha ho'ikah kayim. If it's chosse and the ikah remains, that's okay. The ikah, the main part, should remain. Aval ki ha'igavne miki chatichas esek v'loy esek. You have to have the main part of the esek still has to be remaining. If there's a part of the esek and not the whole esrog, that's no good. So you need to have the main part of the esrog has to be here, and that's how you can fulfill the mitzvah. If you've cut the esrog into two or three parts,
What's the main part?
I understand from this, it sounds like from the Mishnah over here, they need to have the majority of the esrog. That's what it sounds like. How would you interpret it? What do you think? What would be another way of understanding? The majority. But I'll tell you, I'm not 100% confident about this. And I'll tell you why. What happens if you cut the esrog for some reason or another, and you've got 51% of the esrog remaining? Can you be, is that considered chosa? Is it, yeah, is it? Or maybe not. What do you think? I don't know. Is it called, if you cut the whole big, is that considered chosa? Imagine that. Cut off like. Is that called chatichas esrek? Or is it called chosa? Interesting, Shai, what do you think? Not sure. It's more than chosa, so you wouldn't be able to be yotze. He says, the nisha ikir kayim, if the ikir is remaining, that's fine. So I wonder, if the ikir is called the ikir remaining, the main part is, you still here or not? So he's saying, that's called chatichas esrek, I'm not sure.
If you physically do something to it, that's different to it being chosa just...
Because you did it physically.
Yeah, it doesn't make it worse, like a mouse eating at something that's grower, making it bad.
Making it worse over here.
Yeah, because you physically didn't action to...
Because it... Okay, maybe. Says the Ramon finishes off this simon by saying the following: V'chol zeli inyan levorich chol of this with regards to making a bracha. So you can't make a bracha if most of the esrog is gone. Avo b'loy bracha yochel little kol apsunim v'loy vorich aleim. It says that as we mentioned earlier, it's going back on the earlier point. Anything that is possible because of the mum, because of a blemish, and because of chosa, you can still take it, but just don't make a bracha on it. And that leads us to something Tov Resh Nun, which is again very noigah, Shir Hadas Varova, the Shir of the Hadas and the Arova. How big, how high the Hadas and the Arova needs to be. And also, in connection to the Lulav. There's many people making mistakes there. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch teaches us. Shir Hadas Varova. Shir Hadas Varova Shloshe Tfochim. The height of the Hadas and the Arova needs to be 3 Tfochim. We mentioned that previously exactly how you measure the 3 Tfochim. But yes, it needs to be 3 Tfochim high. V'shidro Shel Lulav Arba Tfochim. And the Shedra of the Lulav needs to be 4 Tfochim. Kedei Sheshidro Shel Lulav Yoytze Min Hadas Tefach. Because the Shedra, the backbone of the Lulav, needs to be higher than the Hadas 1 Tefach. The Shulchan Aruch now goes into detail of Cheshbon, how you get to that, but I'm just going to go through it without going into great detail. There's few ways of counting an amma can be either 5 tfochim or 6 tfochim. So he's going into how you count that. If you're talking about an amma of 5 tfochim, you should take it 6 tfochim. Take 3 for the adas, which is 10 gedolim high. The backbone of the lulav should be yud gimel gedolim v'shlish gudol. V'yesh mishoyim v'shir shidra shalulav yudalet gedolim v'yesh oyim shiradas arov v'yud beis gedolim v'shidra shalulav tez zayim gedolim v'chen noegim lechatchila. In other words, the point is, according to both opinions, the point is that the lulav needs to be 1 tefach higher than the Hadas and Arova. Now we spoke in when we learned about Hilchas Arova and Hilchas Hadasim, we spoke about how you get to the 3 Tfochim and most of our Hadasim and Arovas, they've got well over 3 Tfochim. Yeah? I think our Hadasim and Arovas are mostly, they've got the Shia. We spoke about how to count them, and Sholosh, etc. But the point that the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, and that's really Negea, is that you need to ensure that the Lulav is 1 Tefach higher than the Hadasim. And it needs to be Yoitze. It doesn't just need to be higher. It needs to stick out higher than the Hadas and the Arova. And now, where people make a mistake, we know that the way Lulav grows is that if you start from the bottom, there's the strong, it starts mainly with the Shedra of the Lulav, what's the backbone of the Lulav, and that's where the leaves are going out from. Yeah, the double leaves are coming from both sides of the back. Eventually you reach the top of the Shedra, and that's where the top of the Shedra, the hard part, and that's where you've got the last, the final, and the top middle leaf growing out from the Shedra. Do you know where I am? Yeah, the middle leaf coming out from the... Do you know where I am? Okay. That's where the Shedra, that part, that's where the halacha, that's how we paskin, that is where the tyoima starts, the double leaf starts, the top double leaf, and the Shedra, so the Shedra grows into the double leaf. Now, where does that tefach that we're talking about over here, the Lord means 1 tefach higher? Higher of what? Starting, what needs to be higher? Just the top part of the lulav? Oh, so the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's why I think some people are making He needs to be the shedra of the lulav needs to be higher. Not just the top. So you've got hadassim and arovas. Not just the shedra of the lulav needs to be higher. He needs, not just the top of the lulav, not just the double leaves need to be higher. Not just the top double leaf needs to be higher. No. He needs to be the shedra, the backbone. The backbone. The top part of the backbone of the lulav. So that's quite a lot underneath the double leaves, the top double leaf. That part needs to be higher than the Hadassim and Arovas. And if you look around, you'll see that many people fail to do that. Many people. Depends very much on the lulav, because we know that they, depending on the type of lulav, sometimes the shedra is very high, sometimes the shedra is very, very low. It depends very much on what kind of lulav. That's what Derid Lulavim are, especially. By Derid Lulavim in particular, many of the Derid Lulavim, they grow in a way they've got very nice, that's why they're so nice. They've got very nice, strong leaves. And they're very long leaves. I mean, the shedra actually finishes quite early. And low down. So therefore, you need to ensure that the Hadassim and Arovas needs to be underneath the, they need to have a shedra of the lulav still. Does that make sense or not? Can somebody describe it better than me? Because I'm failing to be, do you know what I mean? Can somebody describe, rephrase it a bit?
It's just the tefach below the last split of leaf. The tefach below the last split.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Does that have to be when you stand the lulav and the hadash menorahs on let's say a table, then it'll be the top. When it's in the kosher bowl, it's allowed to be more.
Yeah.
Or even when it's in the kosher bowl.
Well, it's not going to be a substantial difference. It needs to be it needs to be when you're actually holding it. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that still. We'll talk about it, especially about the egged. We'll talk about it. So I just wanted to point, this is the halach over here. Does that make sense what I'm saying? That you need to have, the backbone still needs to be there. You need to have, on top of the adasim, you can't just go straight into the double leaves. After the adasim, you need to have one tefach still of the backbone before it goes into the double leaves. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You can have a double, you can have the lulav sticking out much more than that. So however long you make the lulav, you can have a lulav as long as you want. It's fine. And in fact, you can have the adasim and arov as long as you want. That's all fine. But just ensure that you've got a tefach between the adasim and the beginning of the tiyomis. I want to point out to you, Sikkotten Chesem Mishnebura, that points out in the name of Tolas Yaakov, the last two lines. He says, "Kosev b'tolas Yaakov al pisoid yesh little shdrosesh lulav klape ponov." According to Kabbalistic teachings, you need to ensure that the shedra of the shedra of the lulav needs to be facing you klape ponov upnei lulav klape chutz. Vachinu again. When you've got, also you see sometimes people who are not. You need to have the shedra of the lulav needs to be facing you, and the back of the lulav is going outwards. Yeah, that's what that's how we are noyek. There is that's according to the Mishnah Paskins, I should do it. Simon Tofresh Nun Aleph Seif Aleph. Let's just start that. Mitzvahs Nitilas Lulav Birkosa, the actual Nitila, the shaking of the Lulav and its broche. Mitzvahs Abor Minim Shitl Kol Echot Lulav Echot Vishtarovis Vishloish Adasim. The mitzvah is to shake. Everybody needs to shake. A Lulav, two Arovis, and three Adasim. We've spoken about if there's nothing else, you can take one adas. But the halacha being that you take three, two, and one. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Na'alef, he asks, what's better if you haven't got a lulav? Are you better off going to a place where there's a minyan on the first day Yom Tov? What's more important, going to a place where there's a minyan or going to a place where there's a dalaminim? Dalaminim? Yeah, as we're saying, so what happens on the second day? Or rather, I should say in England, the third day. Minyan more important. Minyan, but Tzibur is more important than chuckling down a minyan. Are we agreeing on that? Yeah, everybody convinced? Why is that? You're not convinced. Not convinced. Oh.
Still a zeichel if it's more down. Still a zeichel of
Yeah, although Todia doesn't really. Yeah, Todia normally, that's right. Normally, it's not really a Todia Shaila because Todia is, when you're lining two Sefer Torah, you want to know which one to line first. It's the order. Todia teaches about order, not about pushing off. What do you think? And therefore. Right? Yeah. Guess what?
That's right.
It's machlokes. Yeah, it's a machlokes. Some do take the approach that because it's a mitzvah veres, and so maybe there is a tzad to do it rather than davening betzibur, even although both of them are born on, others are choylek. The Mishnah Berurah does finish off, and I want to just point out on the first day, v'afilu lulav sofek im yasik sham, but filavada, even if you're on the first day, going back to first day, even if you know for sure that there is a minyan, but you aren't sure if there's going to be a dalet minim, one shul you know for sure is going to be a minyan. The other place, you don't know if there's going to be dalet minim, but you heard, maybe likely that there's going to be dalet minim there. Even then, yelech b'em rishon, on the first day, you should go to the place, if you still take a chance, go to the place with dalet minim, because it's the deraisa, and that's where you should go.